Good morning, Lord. Lord, bless this time, please. Open our hearts to receive what you have for us, Lord. Change our lives, Lord. Draw us closer to you. Praising my Savior all the day long, all the week long, all the month long. May we never cease to praise you, Lord. Help us, Lord, not to run out of gas, as we have a tendency to do, Lord. The cares of the world. We're easily distracted, Lord. But we need to stay focused on you. As the times get more and more interesting, as the days get darker, shine your light in us. Lord, we pray that you'll shine your light on your word this morning. We want to know you. We want to be closer to you. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for your love. Open up heaven for us this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I got a lot of notes this morning. You guys weren't planning on doing anything today, this afternoon, were you? Oh, it's not going to be that bad. But no, it's never bad. The Word of God. It's living. Brings life to us. This morning we're going to be looking at the ark. And in doing so, we're going to be looking at Jesus Christ. Because the ark is a type of Jesus Christ. A type of our salvation in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be when he comes back. Wickedness was running rampant in the world. Evil. Is it like that now? As it was in the days of Noah. Noah had an ark. What do we have? That's right. We have something very similar. Jesus. Actually, it's a lot more than just an ark. What does this have to do with Jesus Christ? As I said, the ark is a type of Jesus Christ. We talk about types a lot because the Bible's full of them. The first type we're going to look at is God's provision. Before the flood came, before the ark was built, before there was a problem, God provided an answer. God provided a solution. Isaiah 65:24, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and before they are yet speaking, I will hear. In Revelation, Jesus is referred to as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Before we were, God knew us. He knew every bad thing we were going to do, and yet he loved us anyway, didn't he? He knew all about us, and he provided a solution to the number one problem the world has, and that's sin. He knew what Adam and Eve were going to do. He knew what it was going to do to all his creation because all of his creation was corrupt because of that. It affected everything. So don't ever think you're not hurting anybody but yourself. God's God revealed to Noah his thoughts, his plans ahead of time, before there was a need. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God's provision. Refuge from judgment. In the Bible, it speaks of three arks. Each was a shelter and a place of safety. Noah's ark protected from the wrath of God. Moses' ark protected Moses from the murderous plans of Pharaoh. Pharaoh, of course, was a type of the Antichrist, a type of Satan. The Ark of the Covenant protected the two tablets of stone. Each ark speaks of Jesus Christ. In Christ, the believer is sheltered from God's wrath, Satan's assaults, and the condemnation of the law. For Noah, there was no other hope. For us, Acts 4:12 tells us of our only hope. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The ark. The Bible gives a pretty lengthy description of it. You know, it's measured in cubits. In case you're wondering what a cubit is, it's from the tip of your elbow to the tip of your fingers. About 18 inches, some cases 22. It was made out of gopher wood. It wasn't made out of metal. The Titanic was made out of metal. They're about the same size, actually. The ark was made out of wood. Where does wood come from? Trees. I figured you'd catch that. But in order for there to be wood, a tree has to die. Life comes from death. Our life, eternal life, comes from Jesus who died for us out of his crucifixion. Isaiah 53:2, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. The Bible in several places speaks of Jesus being the branch. But that's a different lesson. The Bible says there were rooms in the ark. The Hebrew word for rooms, depending on what part of Israel you're from, I guess, there's two pronunciations. One is Quen, Q-E-N. The other is Gen, G-E-N. They both mean the same. A chamber or dwelling, a room, a nest. Literally, a nest for nestlings. That's like us, isn't it? John 14:2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Many mansions, rooms, dwelling place, nests. The ark had a window. It was a cubit below the ceiling. To see the window, Noah had to look up. He couldn't see what was going on outside. What does that tell us? No matter what is going on around us, look up. If the world is being destroyed, what are we supposed to do? Look up. Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Look up. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt and were journeying through the wilderness, a pillar of fire by day and of smoke by night was guiding them from above. You're right. Misprint. Anyway, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and were journeying through the wilderness, a pillar of fire by night and a smoke by day was guiding them from above. God was with them. To be reminded of this, all they had to do was look up. He's still there. There it is. When our Lord was on the cross to see him, they had to look up. John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. John 12:32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Luke 21:28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. And lift your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Lift your heads. Look up. The ark had a door. Only one. A few weeks ago, we talked about the tabernacle. It also had a door. Just one. The tabernacle is also a type of Jesus Christ. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Only one way. Only one door. John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. And where was the door? In the side of the ark. Remember, the ark is a type of Jesus Christ. John 19:34, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. The door was open to his heart. When that door was open in the ark, it was open to his heart. It was open to him. It was sealed inside and outside with pitch. In the Bible, the Hebrew word for pitch is always zapheth or zedeth. Always. Well, except for one time. Here. Here it's kapher. K-A-P-H-E-R. 70 times in the Old Testament, you can find kapher used for atonement. You've heard of Yom Kippur? That's the same word, kapher. But only here is it used for pitch. You can find pitch mentioned throughout the Bible, but only here is it referred to as kapher. What is needed for atonement? Blood. Hey, you must have read the book. What is the closest thing to blood you can find in a tree? Pitch. Applied inside and outside. That ark was sealed completely. No matter how high the water got, no matter how wet it got outside, nothing was going to come in. And you know what? Nothing was going to get out either. Just to be locked in with Jesus, right? Inside and out. Psalm 121:8, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. You're going in, you're coming out. The ark had three stories. I've heard that one of those stories was probably empty. There's that much room. There was plenty of room for anybody that wanted to be in that ark. Plenty of room for anybody that wanted to be saved, but none did. You know, there's always plenty of room at the foot of the cross, isn't there? Three stories. We have a threefold salvation in Jesus Christ, and that in a double sense. First of all, his salvation saves every part of us, body, soul, and spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, there are three tenses to our salvation. We're saved from the penalty, power, and presence of sin. We are saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. God said, come thou into the ark. That's the first time the word come is mentioned in the Bible. And after that, it's mentioned over 500 times in the Bible. Come. It's always an invitation, isn't it? It doesn't say go into. As I said, it's an invitation. If it said go, it would be a command, wouldn't it? He wasn't telling Noah to depart from him. He was inviting him in, into his presence. God spends all our lives inviting us into his presence. Even after we're saved, we're still invited into his presence. Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me and I will give you rest. Beautiful words. It says, come thou. He personalized it. And all thy house. Not just us, but our families too. Acts 16:31, Paul and Silas were in prison and the prisoner noticed something different about them. Or the jailkeeper. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. You know, every time it mentions someone in Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about what they did. There has to be action with faith. James said, faith without works is dead. Not works for salvation, but works is what makes the faith count. Genesis 7:16 says the Lord shut him in. Noah didn't have to take care of himself or his family. The ark was a place of absolute security, just like Jesus. Colossians 3:3, your life is hid, just like Noah in the ark. Your life is hid with Christ in God. 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed to the last time. Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Ready to be revealed in the last time. Genesis 8:18 and 19 tells us that none were lost of all that went in. And Noah went forth and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with them. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. Didn't lose one. John 18:9. that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me, I have lost none. If the Father gave us to the Son, we don't get lost. Noah and those with him had to endure a storm. So did Jesus. Psalm 42:7 prophesied this. It says, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. It isn't just the atonement and salvation that are pictured here, but also the resurrection itself. Genesis 8:4, and the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. It came up out of the waters, like baptism, which is a type of resurrection. And since it rested on the mountaintop, it speaks of the place on high where Jesus now is, seated at the right hand of God. What's he doing? He's making intercession for us. Romans chapter 8, it talks about the Holy Spirit making intercession for us, but it also talks about Jesus making intercession for us. The Savior is now seated at the right hand of God. Oh, one more thing. In Exodus chapter 12, we're told of the initiation of Passover. But one other thing happened at that time. God changed the calendar. He created a second year. One is a civil year and one is a ceremonial. And they celebrate both of them. The day that the ark came to rest on the mountain was the exact same calendar day that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. The 17th day of the month. Because after God changed the calendar, it changed from the 7th to the 1st. The Feast of First Fruits. Lord, we enjoy discovering things about your word. We enjoy, Lord, and look forward to what you reveal to us. We cherish them, Lord. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to God, but those that he reveals to us are ours to keep and our children's to keep forever. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the plan you've had, the plan you have for each one of us. Lord, we need to trust you more. We repent of not trusting you enough. Because with all you've shown us and all you continue to show us, there should be no doubt. No doubt of your love, of your protection, of who you are, and who you've made us. Lord, bless your people this morning. Keep us safe as we go our way, Lord. Lord, go with us. We need you, Lord. And bring us back safe, Lord, when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Have a good day.